around the world.
That is absurd.
These are Mad Radio's Mad Takes, presented by PDQ on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Luka Modric was the guy who won the Golden Ball at the World Cup. So that was the answer, and we have done our giveaway for the Dynamo tickets. Plus, we have another giveaway at the top of the IRC Foreigner on July 20th at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion. And one of the things we're going to discuss in the 9 o'clock hour, should we be worried about these kind of troubling reports about Carlos Correa's seeming lack of progress in his return from the back injury? Do people like radio where it sounds like the hosts are just kind of hanging out on the air? Is that like a thing?
I think they do.
Do they?
I think they do. I think a lot of times, this is one thing I've learned in this business, and it's something that Kirk Minahan up there in Boston told me when we had him on as a guest on Radio Row. Nobody knows what the hell is good radio or bad radio, or what works or what doesn't. Your program director doesn't. Other hosts don't.
We don't know.
You just flat out, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It just comes down to like, do enough people in a given audience actually enjoy this person or these people together?
Interesting. For me, I've always found that if you don't sound like you're energized or enthused, then for me, like, it just doesn't work. So if you're just droning on, you're like, yep.
Yeah, but some people like
look
that.
Look at the game last night.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, like, I see. Here's the thing.
You're like one of the most hyper people you know.
I know.
Are you not?
But with the people that I like listening to, that I've listened to for a long time, I don't mind when they're in that mode. Like, because that example, your representation of it. Yeah, embellishing. Yeah. Usually, like, a lack of energy won't sound exactly like that. So I don't mind sometimes when we're just kind of going through their thoughts.
I think if you go back to, like, some of the all-time great solo hosts, and there are fewer and fewer solo hosts, because it's just more interesting when two people are having a conversation.
Oh, yes. So much more
But, like, if you look at, like, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Berry, I'm trying to think of other people. Rome doesn't count because Rome did it a different way. Rome was reading from a script and still does, I think.
God, but that show's terrible.
But like, so if Michael Berry doesn't really, like, he doesn't spend a lot of his time going off on, like, big rants or having hot takes or anything like that. He's kind of hanging out and chatting with his listeners. And I think what happens with
Dan
that,
Patrick,
people feel Dan Patrick. Perfect example. Dan Patrick. Now, Dan Patrick has
Danettes,
but he also, he has, like, he doesn't have a co-host, but he has 10 other guys. Yeah. But there's something about just feeling like you're hanging out with the person. And I think people, like with Michael Berry, I think people feel like they form a relationship with him, like they're just hanging out with him. And it doesn't have to be necessarily a high energy, hey, here's your jolt in the morning.
Well, here's my take on energy. I don't think any TV or radio show is great because it has energy. Nobody's like, that's a great show because it has great energy. But I think a show can be bad because it doesn't have any energy and can improve by having more energy. But the energy isn't the thing that makes it a great show. The content has to be the thing. The conversation or whatever needs to be the thing that makes it a great or a good show.
Content's a little bit overrated in this. It's that you can have great content, but if you're not a likable personality and people don't like you, they're flat out not going to like you.
I agree.
And this is the same thing. This is where... A lot of times people just don't flat out get it. It's never about, like, who's smarter than other people. Ever in life.
You are not kidding.
Like, very, very rarely is it about, like, who's the smartest guy. And a lot of times, if anything, it's a detriment if you're really smart and you don't know how to communicate that intelligence to other people instead of just trying to lord it over people. So I think it's just the reason there's no rhyme or reason in radio, other than, like, some of the basics, like do you speak intelligibly?
Yeah.
It comes down to, like, all right, does this person have a personality that meshes with what a lot of the listeners like?
Well, yeah, with what most of the demographic is. I get that. You know what I have never understood, though, and maybe this is coming from a place where local radio always is at the forefront. I was intrigued by the fact that for whatever reason we carried Jim Rome, and for whatever reason that Colin Cowherd had an audience here, and for whatever reason, same thing with, like, Mike and Mike, because none of those shows to me are good. And in particular, like, Jim Rome's show, I'm sorry, that show is awful. It's like, if you listen to that, he doesn't talk about sports.
Yeah, but
he doesn't talk about anything.
That. Like,
he talks about, hey, it's smack-offs next month.
Listen,
smack off.
There's a problem. Is you got, like, this values-based thing. It's not about whether it's good or awful. It's about whether people listen. Like, that's all it is. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter.
But
it's about whether people listen.
But who listens? Like, some random person has no other choice that's in the middle of nowhere?
Let me defend some of those shows. So here's the thing about Cowherd. Cowherd is, to me, one of the most...
Trying to make you feel like you're stupid.
That's fair.
Because he's so intelligent.
But Cowherd is one of the most unique people, and I think one of the most talented people in this business. And I got to give Cowherd credit on one specific thing. When Cowherd took over for Tony Kornheiser on ESPN Radio, the thing that he did that I think I would argue has changed the business in a lot of ways isn't the analogies or what he does and his comparisons, but he and he's talked about it. He said when he came to ESPN, he was like, this network does not talk enough college football. And college football, when you think about it, at times can be the number two sport in this country. And he brought that, and now you hear a lot of people nationally talking more about college football, whereas they probably should have beforehand. And I just think that the stuff that Cowherd does as a solo host is very unique, and almost nobody in this business can replicate that.
But here's the problem, is that now everyone has tried to replicate him, just like people used to try to replicate Mike and the Mad Dog. Now, on one end, that's good, because I feel I have been able to have a solid up to age 25 career, because there are so many people that are trying to be like Cowherd. All you have to do is honestly be yourself, and you're probably going to make some headway as long as you are original in some way, shape, or form. But the problem is with Cowherd, he has created too many Cowherd wannabes.
This is where, even though I just told you that there is no good or bad, this is where I have a moral objection to Cowherd. It's that Cowherd will come up with these very intricate and well-thought arguments in
which...
He
doesn't believe.
No. Well, there's part of it. Like,
that look, he shouldn't look, believe.
There's a place for disingenuousness. That's fine. I get that. It's that he, like, three of his five premises will be abject lies. Like, he'll just say things that aren't true. But by the time you get to the... But those premises do logically lead to a certain conclusion. So he fools people, he bamboozles people into thinking he made a good point, where in fact he presented like three mistruths to get to that point.
Right.
Even though that mistruth, even though they lead to a logical conclusion, it's based on flawed, on actual inaccurate facts.
And here's the formula that I think Cowherd and ESPN have taken on. Now, if you watch any of these talking head television shows, an argument is brought to the table, and they're supposed to be a back and forth.
Yep.
And then they try to get some sort of viral 1-2 minute clip that will be picked up by other stations. And that way, those viral clips actually matter more than the actual show itself on TV and on the radio side of things, too. And then it continues.
But why do the viral
goes,
clips matter more?
Because I don't think, I think now, if you're trying to get that national appeal going, you want other people to be talking about what you're saying. And the best way to do it is to have like a 1 or 2 minute chunk that other people can pick up.
If it doesn't translate to people actually watching the show, how do you make money off of that?
Because like, I think the online, like I think that on Twitter or putting it on Instagram or putting it on Facebook, like the actual video clips or the sound clips that are posted on those mediums are actually more valuable than what gets posted. Like,
yeah, no, you already
over
said that.
Airwaves.
I'm asking, like, but why is that more valuable? How are they making money off of that?
I don't know how they're making money off of it, but I feel like that would be a better way to make money off of it.
I actually agree with Paul, even though I don't know the answer to your question, Seth.
I don't either.
I know, because I know people have told you guys that that's what they value, but like I'm wondering as a
but
business
that's
model.
That's my assumption. I haven't been told
this
by anyone.
I think a ton of people consume Colin Cowherd's show or Nick Wright's show on Fox Sports 1 through the clips that are posted on social media, Facebook,
Twitter.
Does
that make sense? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
And my question would be, that's great.
Yeah.
But their money-making model is to sell advertising on their television
I don't know the
show.
Answer. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. It's a good question.
Seth, I don't know how these stations make money. Like, because I don't think, I assume, like, no one's watching Get Up. I don't think a lot
Nobody's
of people
watching
are watching these shows on Fox or on ESPN.
Yet
these guys are getting paid tons of money to do these shows.
Those shows make money because enough people are watching. That's what I'm telling you. There is no right or wrong. There are ratings, and that's it. Like, now you can have moral objections to something somebody's saying, and you feel like, okay, or a decency objection. But in terms of what's good and what's not, there are things that appeal to some people and other things that appeal. That's why I think radio wars are the dumbest thing ever. Like, one radio host talking about how his competitor does or doesn't do something like he does is the dumbest thing in the world to me, because you know what? People are going to listen to what they listen to, and like at some point, if you don't have enough listeners, you're out of a job, or if you have more listeners and you're making more money. Like, I don't ever get into the, I don't understand the swinging of members to try to, I frankly, honestly, I don't get it.
And then some of these places are like in Boston or New York where the ratings are so high, especially in Boston, you're like, well, who cares who's number one or number two? You guys are all getting rich and you're all like big time shows that
like
make a
billionaires.
Big impact.
You're like, I got 4.8 billion. You only got 4.7. Like,
we got a 12.8. They got a 12.5. We're number one. It's like you're both killing it. Like, it's fine. All right, Mad Takes. According to QuoteWizard.com, they did a study, and Houston, not bad in terms of worst drivers by city. We rank 68th of the top 75 worst drivers. The top five worst drivers in the country Omaha, Riverside, California, Sacramento, Columbus, Ohio, and the San Francisco Bay Area. So we are all the way down at number 68.
Traffic is not that bad here, and I know that people get frustrated by sometimes people weaving in and out of traffic, people that don't know how to use the left lane on the highway. That's a passing lane. If someone's coming up behind you, get out of the way.
Yep.
But I don't think it's that bad after having driven in Boston and in Los Angeles last week. Jeez, it is so much better driving here than those places.
I'm going to tell you this. The biggest miscarriage out of this top 20 here are the North Carolina, not Charlotte. Charlotte, it makes sense that they're big. Durham. Durham, North Carolina, which is 18th. Greensboro, which is 19th. These small cities in North Carolina, I've been stuck in traffic in both of them before and been like, why am I stuck for an hour in Durham, North Carolina? What the hell? The damn research triangle? This is what I like. No, this shall not
the
pass.
Back road.
Unacceptable that Durham, North Carolina has traffic as bad as this. A lot of people probably looked at this list and thought, like, Durham, North Carolina, whatever, that's a misprint or something. Like, no.
That's legit.
It is awful. I don't know if it's because I think that research triangle area down there grew real fast or something.
And so
I don't
the roads couldn't keep up.
Because that's what happened in Orlando. My wife lived in Orlando when I met her, and that was awful. That's how I knew I loved her. It's because I put up with Orlando traffic to go see her. That damn Disney World lets out, and you can't get to Okeechobee.
Fair.
Nice reference, Okeechobee. St. Pete to Orlando is an hour and a half drive on I-4, and we used to go to Disney World a lot, but yes, once you actually get into Orlando, like, it's awful.
Plus, and this
it's so
is one
bad.
Thing, I have major
There's
beef.
Nothing there.
I have major beef with Rich Lord, who somehow thinks that people shouldn't slow down when we have these torrential downpours in Houston.
And did he say that?
He said go faster?
No, he's not saying go faster. He gets upset that everybody slows down, and I've heard other people say this too.
What? See?
Yeah. What do you want us to do?
Plus, we can't see the lines in the road here in Houston. But for whatever reason, we've skimped on line painting budgets. And when it rains at all, or at dawn or dusk, you can't see the lines in the road.
On an amusing note, by the way, when it comes to drivers, you guys have to see the route that my Uber driver took me on Saturday night. And I feel bad for him because he was a very nice, pleasant fellow, and he was striking up a nice conversation, but he got lost so many times. I gave him a 3-star rating because I felt bad for him.
Check out the tweet that Paul sent out, @GallantSays on Twitter.
It was, so we started off like at north of downtown, and I don't even know how we got to eventually Kirby Ice House, but he took two loops, and in the loop, it just doesn't make any sense.
You were like on the sort of like the northeast part of like from where downtown is, and you need to get to Kirby Ice House, which seemed like all you have to do is like hop on 59, and instead you guys somehow ended up like in the Heights.
And so what you're saying is it didn't feel at all like this guy was trying to bilk you or anything.
No, he was a nice guy. I think it was like his third day on the job, and I know if I gave him a bad rating, he would never get another Uber ride again, because if you get a bad rating, you're screwed.
You got your refund real quickly.
I did. I just pressed a button today, and I got $10 back, and I was like, yeah, that's fair. I mean, because it cost me $23 as opposed to what it should have been, like $13.
E had a theory that this person, this guy may have wanted to spend some more time with you.
Oh, he might have liked you.
Yeah, might have
liked you.
I had a nice little Hawaiian shirt on.
What was he talking about?
Not the cactus shirt, though, right?
No, I had a Hawaiian shirt with alpacas wearing sombreros.
So he was into your vibe.
Yeah.
So maybe he wanted to spend some more time. So he decided to take a little trip to the Heights with you.
It was a good time.